Hi, everyone. This is Wendy Turner. Welcome to Millennium Women's Hour on the Millennium Grown Broadcast Network. Today is kind of going to be a free-for-all with all of us women. We have Sierra Riddle calling in, and we have Amy, our knight in shining armor, which she does everything for us here at Millennium Grown. And we have a special guest, Amy Kale, Kate Sullivan, and Melissa from South Dakota. I'm looking at Kate and I'm laughing at her because she's talking to somebody. Today we're just going to talk about stuff, what women talk about. You know, we're all in the cannabis industry, and this has been new and exciting for all of us. We all have different stories. I'm a mom of a cannabis patient. Colton Turner is my son, and he's always in the limelight, and so we're trying to figure out what's going on with him. He's the first Crohn's patient, pediatric Crohn's patient, and to use cannabis. So we're dealing with him all the time, and that's always been fun when it comes to legislation and can he get a driver's license and can he do this and can he do that. And we also have Sierra, who is Landon's mom, and she is dealing with leukemia and with Landon, and he's been a rock star and it's been fantastic. Amy has Austin, and she's fantastic. Austin is one of our seizure patients, and he had the most incredible EEG the other day, and we are going to talk about that today. Kate is an adult patient. Kate is from the state of Illinois, and we'll talk about that a little bit today. She had to move to Colorado, even though there's a program in the state of Illinois. And that's, you know, something that we need to talk about across the board in every single state. And then we have Amy. Amy is Matt Kale's wife. Matt is a PTSD veteran, and he uses cannabis to treat his PTSD, and she's been involved in the cannabis legislation and in the industry for quite some time now, and she gets to tell her story. And then we have Melissa. Melissa is our South Dakota representative. She did all the bills and all the legislation for South Dakota, and she is just amazing. We'll let her tell her story and everything that's going on. So who do we got on the phone now?
Amy's here.
Hey, Amy.
Melissa's
what's
here.
Hey, Melissa.
Hello.
There's a little bit of an echo, Wendy.
Yeah, I'm getting an echo, too.
Okay.
And just for everybody who's listening, this is kind of a test run. We don't know exactly what we're doing here. So, you know, be patient.
We're getting there.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there for sure. So, let's see. Are you on? Kate,
yeah,
are you
so.
On? I can't. Okay,
can you
I
hear
can't
me?
Hear Kate. Mm-mm.
I can hear you guys. I can hear you. I can hear you.
I can kind of hear Kate.
Yeah, we can hear you speaking on the phone.
You can hear, Melissa, you can hear Kate?
I can hear Kate.
Hear
I'm
Kate.
Just waiting for her to drop a bomb.
Right?
I have to disclose that we are probably the pottiest mouthed women that you will ever meet in your entire life. So this may be explicit. So all you listeners out there, we apologize. We're horrible.
PG-13 at the very least.
Yeah. I doubt if it's going to be PG-13 with Kate and Melissa.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be good, Melissa.
All right, I will keep my potty mouth wrapped up.
Oh, please, you don't have to. You know what? Here's the thing, and I said this earlier. Be yourselves. You know, if nobody likes you, then screw them. You know, I don't care. I love you all. So
aww.
You know, be yourselves. And if the F bomb happens to drop, then we warned them. You know, that's all we can say. We warned you.
Pre-warned is forearmed.
Is what?
6, 8, 7.
It's like forearmed. They're supposed to be ready for us if we're going to swear with the little censorship button.
Exactly. Exactly. So, okay, I think what we're going to do, because I can barely hear you guys.
Yeah, we're going to mute. Those
we're going to mute
Amy and Melissa
for just a few minutes.
Well,
and we're going
to. Let's talk to Melissa first since she's on this.
Okay, yeah, we're going to talk to Melissa first because Kate and Amy are local and Melissa's long distance.
Okay. So now you're on the line. They're muted, so now you're talking to Melissa.
Okay. Hey, Melissa.
Hello, Wendy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm sorry I missed your call today.
That's okay. It was nothing important. Just
okay.
Kate, crap, as usual.
Okay, well, I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
I want to know what's going on in South Dakota and what you have done in the state of South Dakota to promote the cannabis situation that is going on in the United States.
All right. Currently in South Dakota, we have a ballot initiative going. What it is because we approached our legislator in January and they were not interested in supporting a medical or any kind of marijuana legislation, we had the opportunity to write our own bill and submit it to our government and get it back with the ability to collect signatures on petitions to put it on our 2016 ballot. So we are currently circulating. We are in month 3 of circulating, and we have just over 11,000 signatures.
Oh, wow.
We need 13,871, so we're really close to being done with a month and a half left.
That's amazing.
So it's been interesting.
You don't have very far to go.
No, we don't, but we still have that stinking wait because they'll go in November of this year. We'll vote November of next year. And then if it passes, we still won't have any kind of legislation go into effect until July of 2017.
Wow. So you guys still have a long way to wait, though.
We do have a long way to wait, but we do have kind of a glimmer of hope. Most people aren't aware of this, but the federal government gave permission to the Indian tribes to legalize on their reservations. And our Flandreau-Santee Sioux tribe here, it's like about an hour and a half away from me, they chose to be the first Indian tribe to legalize on a reservation in a non-legal state. And their program will open up in December.
That's
so we will
awesome.
Have access. Yep, we'll have access, but we also, in South Dakota, we have a metabolites law, which means that you can be charged with possession by ingestion, even if you're caught with no cannabis on you. So it's really a kind of a slippery slope, and we're still kind of watching and waiting and hoping that somebody in our legislature will pull a decrim out of a hat in January and at least decriminalize our state.
I can't hear.
That's crazy. Well,
but
it's good. I mean, we need – it's a great step in the right direction, especially for the tribes, and I know that it is really difficult for the tribes to be doing things and because, you know, they're sovereign nations, aren't they? They're sovereign nations.
Yep, they're sovereign nations.
And they've always got the crap end of the deal. So I just feel for them, and I'm glad that that's happening in South Dakota.
Well, and the interesting thing here is with the sovereign nation, a lot of the Native American reservations are policed by local police officers that are employees of the state. For Flandreau to do what they have done, they had to completely break away from the city police in Flandreau and start their own police force. So,
wow. You
know, it's a huge, bold step for them to do this. And, you know, I applaud what they're doing, but, you know, they're really kind of setting in stone what's going to happen with the other tribes because there's other states that have no legalization or decriminalization that could do the same thing.
Right.
And, you know, fortunately, the Santee Sioux tribe, they're not making it a Native American dispensary only. It is open to the public on a recreational level, and they're also doing a med program. So even though we have a good year and a half before our bill would go into effect, we still have something here.
Right. And then, so kind of explain that to me, though. I know that when you go to the reservation and to get legal cannabis there, you can't take it off of the off of the reservation, right? You have to be able,
no.
You have to ingest it there, or do you are you able to take it off the reservation?
Nope, you're not able to take it off the reservation. And interestingly, our Flandreau Santee Sioux tribe, their reservation is actually in Flandreau, which is next to one of the biggest casinos in our state. So what they've done is their grow is actually next door to the casino, and then their dispensary is about half a block away. And you're able to, say, rent a room at the casino, go and consume your cannabis and go back, or you also have the option to go to the dispensary, consume on site because it's going to be a lounge, and you can buy 1 gram at a time, maximum of 2 grams a day. So, and it's
awesome.
All on-site consumption. Even the medical patients have to consume on-site. So it'll be interesting to see how everything comes together starting at the end of December when they open.
That is interesting. It's going to be exciting. It's a great day in history is going to be that day for sure.
It is, and it's kind of interesting because also the company that is doing the consulting for our tribe here in South Dakota is from Colorado.
Awesome.
So we actually have Colorado growers over here helping them set up and get things going, and a management company training them how to do their harvest, how to package, how to do all of that.
Awesome.
So we've been very impressed with their management company.
I won't say anything. I know that you have because we have had very long conversations about what was going on in South Dakota just privately. So I understand how you feel about them, and I think that, you know, what's going on in South Dakota has been great, and it's been great for you. It's been great. I'm hoping that they love it, too, and I'm hoping that South Dakota is, like, going to love this program also. It's going to be an exciting time. Okay, one second. I'm going to – Kate and I are in the same building – but she is on speaker, and I'm having a hard time on this phone to hear everyone. So Kate, I'm going to run into Kate's, and we're going to be on speakerphone. So give me 2 seconds. So say hi to Kate right now, and don't cut.
Hi, Kate.
Hey.
How's it going?
Hey, what's happening, girl?
Nothing. I am coming to visit you guys next week. Did Wendy tell you that?
I heard you're coming in.
Yes, I am. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So we'll have to go do some hiking and hang out.
Absolutely.
Once again, you're listening to Millennium Women's Hour with hosts Wendy Turner, Sierra Riddle, and Amy Hiltebrand. We're featuring guests Kate Sullivan, Amy Kale, and Melissa Millennium. Metley.
Say your last name, Melissa, so everybody knows.
It's Metley.
There you go.
Did you catch it?
No, say it again.
Okay, it's Metley.
There you go. Metley. Oh, are we on? Hi. Is Amy, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, awesome. Because now I can hear you guys just a little bit better.
I need a mic.
Perfect.
Okay. I didn't know if I was still muted or not.
Yeah, Wendy would really like to have that mute button sometimes with me. Just mute me off. Can't hear nothing I say.
I'm telling you now. Sometimes you all need a mute button. I think we all five of us need a mute button at times.
Yeah,
I agree. I need a mute button all the time.
Yeah, we were going to have Kate talk to Ethan earlier, and she's like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? She's like, I need like a week to stop cussing.
Well, she's doing pretty dang good.
That's because I'm silent.
Is Wendy pinching you, too, to make sure that you don't let that F-bomb fly out?
No, Amy's just sitting. I'm sitting on the mute button.
Nice. Very nice.
So we're bad. We're bad. Bad. We are bad examples for our children. Oh my gosh!
We're just teaching them how to be real. I mean, it's a sex enhancer. Come on, guys.
You know, that brings up something I'd like to point out since we're women here and we're talking about women and being good examples. What do you ladies think about the Miss Colorado controversy about the nurse? I think Kelly Johnson, Miss Colorado, in the Miss America pageant did a monologue about being a nurse, because she is a nurse, and about working with a patient with Alzheimer's. And apparently, women on The View didn't think that was as impressive as I thought it was, and really kind of talked down on it. And they're losing some pretty big advertisers. I hear Johnson & Johnson is pulling their ads off of The View for that.
Absolutely, as they should. I have been in nursing for 18 years. I think that what she did was original and beautiful, and it really showcases what we do. We are these people's family members, and Alzheimer's is a horrible disease. So I think she's really bold, and I think that The View really kind of sucks for tearing her down like that.
Well, I can't believe that they would even have they even been into a doctor's office. I mean, come on. I am in the doctor's office with Colton weekly. And the nurses are the ones that are taking care of those patients. They ask all the questions. They listen to his heart. They listen to his lungs. They listen to his bowel movements. You know, everything. They're the ones that do it all. And for them to diss a nurse like that just really irked me, because we have gotten some of the most incredible care from our nurses. Because the last time Colton was in the hospital, he was in the hospital for a week, and the doctors didn't come in and take care of him every hour. The nurses did.
Yep, we are your first point of contact when you come into the physician's office, and we are the last point of contact for you when you leave either the hospital or the doctors. You know,
we were supposed to be on The View, and if they ask us to do it again, forget it. I'm not going to do it. Not just because of those comments.
I think that we should just start our own View, cannabis style.
That's exactly what this is. Welcome to Millennium Women's Hour.
Yeah. We're The View, but better.
Yeah, this is a conversation over coffee you haven't heard before.
That's right. Oh, trust me, you don't want to hear mine and Wendy's coffee conversation. They're not my favorite.
You know, I'm telling you, we really, our families, we all should have a sitcom. That's what should be going on.
Yep. A reality show. We should get in touch with TLC and have them follow us around.
Oh, God. Well, they can't follow me around because I would probably be in big trouble.
Well, I honestly didn't see the pageant or The View. But I'm surprised that those ladies on The View would have a problem with that, because basically, I mean, the pageant system, it's so robotic, you know what I mean? And so for someone to step outside the box, I'm surprised that they would have a problem with that. You know, I mean, I think it's such a good lesson to girls across the country that, you know, a talent doesn't have to be dancing or singing or playing an instrument. It doesn't have to be the typical in-the-box type of talent. A talent can be having the ability to care for other people and have an appreciation for that. So I'm really kind of shocked that those ladies would have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame because, I think that it took a lot of guts and to be able to do that, to step outside of the box that way. I think it's really cool.
I thought it was excellent. I really did. I was really impressed with her. I was really impressed with her out-of-the-box thinking. And I was really impressed with what she had to say. I mean, just what she had to say was so important and broke my heart. You know, and I know no one with Alzheimer's. No one. But I understand the how it feels. You know, my sister-in-law comes home and talks about, you know, her nursing situations. And that bothers me when, you know, she worked on the cancer unit for kids. And, you know, it's emotional for nurses because people get attached to you and you get attached to people. And I know that even within Colton's care, you know, I really grew on the bond of a lot of the nurses that consistently take care of Colton. And I appreciate everything that they do and the love and the care and the attention that they give to him. And for her to do something like that, that is a talent. And that's probably more a more important talent than any one of those other girls that were on that stage that night.
Right. Yeah.
That's just...
Well, I think it's a testament to how things are evolving, really, for someone to think outside the box. And this was, I mean, this is the Miss America pageant. That was significant. She knew as a contestant that was probably taking a risk because oftentimes you're not scored as high when you step outside that box. And you really put yourself out there to ridicule and criticism. And that was, The View is the perfect example of how that exactly happened. And it is such a shame because women should be proud of their talents regardless of the label. As Wendy said, you know, being a nurse is an incredible talent. And it's a sacrifice
definitely not
as well.
For everybody, you know, not just anybody can be a nurse, you know. I mean, it's a tough job on so many different levels. Mm-hmm. And so important. I mean, so
I think
good
we
for
probably
her.
All in our lifetime have come across someone that shouldn't be a nurse.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Here comes the up bomb.
Hold on, I'm muting.
Gotta be fast with me.
Yeah, she's fast.
That baby's gonna slip right out of there. You better be real quick with the finger.
That's right.
Oh, it's so awesome to have you guys all on the phone together with me. I love each and every one of you guys. It's just been an amazing journey that we've all taken together, and I just, you know, cannabis brought us all together.
Yeah.
Every single one of us. And it's just been awesome. And I just, I found some of the best friends that I could possibly have. I love my friends back home, but man, I just love you guys. Thanks so much.
You know, something that, and I agree, Wendy, and I'm the same, I feel so lucky. I have, you know, some of the most amazing friends that I've had since I've met, you know, moved here than I've had in a long time. And it's all because of cannabis and just Colorado. I mean, Colorado's awesome, you know. And, you know, when Matt when we first really kind of figured out that he had PTSD, it was after, like, a suicide attempt, one of his leader's wives was talking to me, and she said, you know, it's hard to see right now, but, you know, something good will come out of this, and it's impossible to feel that way right now. But I knew she was right, and we went through years of struggling with his conditions and PTSD and different things, and all along I kind of held on to that. I knew that, you know, if he could get through it, if he could live through it, that on the other side, things would be good and that much better. And he would be able to reach out and affect people's lives. And I would, too, because of that experience along the way. And every single one of you ladies has the same journey, you know, has the same outcome. Like, all that struggle and all that pain that we go through, even still, is, as a result, has brought us together and has given us the opportunity to be able to share our stories and help other people. And I mean, I'm eternally grateful, you know, like it sucks what we've been through, but it's like, it's not for the faint of heart. And I'm glad that, you know, God or the universe or whatever it is, put us on this path, because we're better for it. And I'm just so happy to know all of you and live here and, you know, be able to be on the radio, like, you know, do a broadcast like this. It's just super, super cool.
That's excellent, Amy. I want to interject. I believe Sierra has been able to call in. Sierra, are you on the line?
Yes. Hello, ladies. Hello.
Awesome. Hi. Sierra Riddle, one of our other hosts for Millennium Women's Hour, is joining us on the line from, I believe, have you made it to Utah safely, Sierra?
Did we lose you? Oh, no.
It looks like we lost her. It looks like she dropped off.
Oh, shoot.
That's okay. She can call back in. Kate, tell us a little bit. Now, you're a refugee from Illinois, which is the same state as the Turners. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tell us a little bit about your story.
We got, what about 5-6 months ago, we got to Colorado. We didn't really have a choice left because the Illinois program is just an absolute nightmare. My husband and I, we did all the doctor visits. We did everything that Illinois asked us to do. We did the fingerprinting. We did the background check and the getting to know a cannabis doctor. We did all that. And we're still here in Colorado because Illinois is just messed up and really didn't have any more time to wait.
I don't think you said what your condition is, Kate. I don't think Wendy said that in the beginning. What is your condition? Like, what did you need medical marijuana for? For the listeners to know.
Kate is having to call back in.
Oh, okay.
Sierra, are you on the line?
Yes.
Okay. Since we've got Sierra on the line, did you make it to Utah?
I'm in Utah, but now I'm driving to the other side of Utah where my mother lives.
Tell us a little bit about your story and Landon.
Landon and I first became medical marijuana refugees in 2013 when I brought Landon over from Utah to seek out, something that would help Landon to survive chemotherapy. And Landon was diagnosed with an aggressive form of blood cancer when he was 2.5 years old and only given an 8-10% chance to live. And, we trusted in the oncologist and the doctors and what they said was the best thing for Landon. And it quickly, became clear that wasn't. Within 3 months, Landon had lost 50% of his body weight. He couldn't tolerate eating. He was on a lot of narcotics. He was just losing his quality of life. And, we had to make a decision to do something, as they wanted Landon to complete a 4-year chemotherapy plan. And there was just absolutely no way that he was going to be able to survive that. So we brought him over to Colorado in January 2013 and started giving him cannabis oil. And he improved. He got so much better. And, a lot of people have followed our story and seen the improvements in Landon. And it's just been absolutely day and night. He couldn't walk when we got in here. He couldn't eat. He still has a lot of issues, from the chemo and things like that. But he is doing so much better. And, we fought for his right to be able to not have chemotherapy and to, choose a safe and effective, compassionate cancer treatment. And Landon was one of the first children with leukemia to actually survive it without having complete chemotherapy. And he's been cancer-free for coming up on 3.5-4 years now. And he's been doing absolutely amazing. Yeah, I can't believe it's been so long. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I know. That's crazy. I was just looking at your pictures
amazing.
The other day, and I was like, oh, my gosh, Landon was so tiny, and he's getting so much better.
He's so small.
So awesome.
I know. They stunted his growth, so severely. He didn't grow for over a year, and for almost 2 years now, he hasn't gained more than 5 pounds in 2 years. And so, it has been such a struggle to undo the damage that they've done to him. And Wendy was there with us. He was having a lot of gastrointestinal problems. And, they were ready to put him on all kinds of Miralax and do all kinds of scopes, in and out and all this stuff. And, come to find out, all we had to do is just change one simple thing, which was the way that his cannabis oil was being produced. And they just, they're so ready to put our kids on medication for anything. I don't even take Landon to the doctor anymore. We're very fortunate that cannabis keeps him as healthy as he does and he doesn't need to go, But I'm just so afraid that every time, you know, anything's wrong with him, to just try to overload us with medications. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
That's what doctors do. It seems like, you know, Colton's going through a little bit of a flare right now, and, you know, the first thing that they wanted to do was surgery. And I'm like, are you kidding me? No, you give him, you know, I understand, Colton's going through puberty right now, and he has a lot of changes. And, you know, he's growing, and he's growing in a really large amount, really, really fast. And Landon's going to have that same issue, you know. And what do we do? You know, they just want to cut into your kid and give him all these crazy medicines. And it's just, you know, cannabis has been working for Colton for 18 months. And there's no reason why we need to change those types of things. I don't understand most of the time why doctors have to be the way they are and start pushing all these pharmaceuticals.
Lack of education and knowledge on cannabis is a big one. I think every one of us can say that very often we're the most educated in the room when discussing cannabis, and it's terrifying when you're surrounded by doctors.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. There's been days, and, Sierra and I have looked at each other at conferences and at, you know, just places, and we're just like, oh, my gosh, are we the smartest two people here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just insane the amount of education, the lack of education there is, really.
Well, exactly. One more thing before we talk to Kate and get back to her story. Sierra, tell us, now you've gone one step further. You're actually growing his medicine. You're growing Landon's medicine.
Yes.
You're actually growing and producing your son's medication now, as well as for other patients. Tell us
yes.
a little bit about
and,
that.
You know, when we first came here, there wasn't a lot of access to cannabis oil, you know, concentrated forms of cannabis, high CBD medicine. Landon takes twice as much THC in a day as he does CBD, but he still needs good quality CBD. And, in the first year that I was in Colorado, I spent $2,000 a month on cannabis oil for Landon. And it became very clear very fast that I could not keep affording to do that, that somewhere I had to, find a way to make that cost cheaper. And to, you know, another issue that I was having was having the medicine tested. You know, the caregivers that we were getting our meds from that had our plant count, they wouldn't give us test results for the CBD medication or the THC oil. You know, and that was a big thing for me, was not knowing what's in it, you know, and so I was like, okay, you know what, I'm going to just start fiddling around with it and start learning a little bit at a time. Well, I actually, you know, got really good at it, like to the point where I grow about 55 to 99 plants every harvest between my house and another location, and then I make oil for Landon and about probably 5 to, this year, probably 15 more patients. And, you know, we just kind of take care of each other in this little network and stuff, because we all know, like, how ridiculous it is. You know, Landon's going on his third year of medical
mm-hmm.
cannabis treatment, and insurance does not cover a dime of it,
mm-hmm.
nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, a lot of us, if our children are going to be on this for any length of time, you know, really the only way is to be self-sustainable and to learn to grow it ourselves. And I try to help parents out and give, you know, I give clones out throughout many times of the year of high CBD and high THC genetics. I help parents set up grows and can things so that, you know, hopefully one day there will be enough medicine being grown by us, you know, that we won't have to sign over our children's plant count and then pay an arm and a leg for that medicine right back. That's not the way that it should be at all.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, Sierra and I are friends, and I love her to death. I love Landon. And she's always been very, you know, into self-sustainability, and I applaud her for that because she's a better woman than me. I can't grow anything.
No, she can't.
Yeah, I would have to applaud Sierra. Sierra is one of the youngest moms that I've met in this cannabis industry, and she is – one of the smartest. Well, she's definitely top five. I know some smart PhD people in this industry. But Sierra, you seriously could have a PhD in cannabis, and I applaud you. You should. Well, Tommy always says that we have a Google degree. So there you go.
Right. I like to call it a momicology degree. That's what I like
that's
to call
right.
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's
and,
where,
you know.
Honestly,
it's sad that they've, like, forced us as parents to become our children's doctors because it's so clearly written on the wall that they don't give two shits about our kids, you know, and that's
really the sad part. We are going backwards because used to the parents were their children's doctors. And we watched our children, we evaluated our children. For thousands and thousands of years, people used plants in their natural form as medication for their children. And so the fact that we're actually going backwards, considering the amount of technology and medical advancements that we have, to deny access to an all-natural, non-toxic medication, plants, just a plant, it's a plant, it's just a plant, is absolutely absurd, especially when the same U.S. government that denies its citizens access holds a patent on the very same plant, proving its medicinal benefits as well as its non-toxicity. So, you know, the hypocrisy should immediately nullify the scheduling of cannabis, but it's passing the buck. People are just waiting. They're trying to get – it's a patent scramble, and it's all about money. Sierra dropped off. Let's go ahead and get back to Kate. I apologize now that we've kind of gone through that. You came from Illinois. One of the questions that I think Amy or Melissa had was, what was your diagnosis for your treatment of cannabis? What do you use cannabis for, Kate?
I use cannabis. I'll go back. I broke my neck and my back a couple times. And I've had GI issues since probably I was a teenager. And I was on 550 different pharmaceuticals a month, and now I take zero. I just use cannabis. So for basically chronic pain, migraines, nausea, vomiting, cyclic vomiting, GERD, and there's really muscle spasms, everything. I mean, you name it, I have it, and I use just cannabis for it.
I have to say that Kate has been crazy. It's been a crazy journey for her. I have to tell this story. So Kate and I are friends, and she comes over to my house, and one day she had just went too far. She didn't have her medicine. And she was just really, really sick. And it was one of the scariest times that I'd ever seen somebody get so sick so quickly and, you know, just scaring the living crap out of me. Mm-hmm. And then she gets home and she gets her medicine and everything. It's like nothing even happened. When she was rolling on the floor, you were like you're puking in my
puking on the floor.
On the floor in the bathroom. She missed the toilet and she missed the trash can. It's not funny.
But I threw up for probably 2 hours and I rolled around in pain, and finally Andre put me in the back of the car, and we have a bed in the back. It's like, memory foam and everything. So I was back there, and Wendy and Tommy gave me a little puke bag, and I used that all the way home. And the second we got into Castle Rock, I got my concentrate, and I did two dabs, and everything stopped. The puking stopped, the nausea stopped, the pain, everything.
That was my question, you know, what's the best method for you in terms of, like, nipping it in the bud that quickly? Is it dabbing?
Absolutely, yeah. Dabbing. Dabbing, normally when I would get a migraine, once the migraine would start and the pain and the GI stuff would start, the vomiting, we're talking about 7 to 10 days, we would go to the hospital, we would get hydrated, and it was a vicious circle. None of the meds they had, basically they could hydrate me, but they couldn't stop the puking.
Right.
So I told you about
my friend that has the exact same thing, and the very first thing the doctors told him, with no real basis, was, oh, you're a cannabis user. This is happening because you use cannabis. And
yeah,
I've heard that so many times. It's so stupid. I'm getting so sick of those damn doctors acting like, oh, it's all about the it's because of cannabis. You know, the second that they find out that we're cannabis users,
yeah.
then that's
whatever ailment. Whatever ailment we have, it's because
it's
of cannabis.
Because of cannabis.
Right. And it's such, and I mean, the doctor even said, well, it is, it's, you know, there's an increase in users of cannabis, and I've seen these systems present with other users, but I guess it is kind of like saying, you know, when there's more ice cream shops in New York, people start, you know, having a heart condition because they're eating more ice cream. And I was like, so basically you just said your theory, quote unquote, is bullshit. I mean, you have no basis whatsoever for saying that cannabis is the problem. You know, it's just, oh, you have to eliminate that because it's bad. It's just bad. You know, it really is frustrating.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing when I would go to the emergency room. I don't know, there's probably six different drugs that they can give you, from Zofran, Reglan, you name it, Compazine, in your butt, in your mouth, through a shot. None of it worked. And when we got to the point where we had done all the reading and we did the research for ourselves after the trips to the ER, we would go home and try it, and then it would work. And then we were like, oh, okay, there is something to this.
Right.
So, you know, we did everything we could do in Illinois, and, you know, we still got shit on by Illinois. So thanks, Illinois.
Yeah, thanks, Illinois.
Yeah, all of our family and friends are there, but thanks, Illinois.
I'm really glad you guys had to leave Illinois, personally.
I am, too. Somebody's calling Kate. She's messed up with this whole phone situation. Don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
We can't together. Wait.
Do I need
call.
To mute you? just do I need to mute her?
probably. Oh, this is ridiculous. Anyway,
to answer your question, yes, I would say that dabbing has been my savior. It has literally just kept me out of the emergency room. I mean, I've had flare-ups in my GI, and I've had flare-ups in my neck. I've had flare-ups in my back and in my head, all of which would require a trip in Illinois to the emergency room. And basically just any kind of form of cannabis, whether it be, you know, dabbing, I just CBD and THC. THC is my savior right now, for pain especially.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, Kate, a lot of people, a lot of refugees that are coming to Colorado, especially parents of children, you know, for example, my son is a seizure kid. He has Dravet syndrome. So we did research and found specific strains, that were apparently working. Haley's Hope, Charlotte's Web, ACDC. Obviously, our son requires a little bit more THC than hemp oil. Did you, as a patient, look towards specific strains?
Yeah, I actually, when I first started, like when we were in Illinois, I actually just started with hemp and CBD, whatever I could get from like the Michigan Hemp Company that was legal. And, you know, I did start to feel a little bit better, but it really wasn't until, you know, the Colorado experiment happened, and we realized this is what we had to do because we knew Illinois wasn't going to happen. So, I totally lost my train of thought. I don't remember what
the strains.
Oh, the strains. The strains, I would say, I tend to lean more towards indica because of my pain and muscle spasms. I have been doing some hybrids and some sativa. I don't like to do too much sativa because it makes me real anxiety. But for the most part, I mean, I'll pretty much try anything because it is cannabis and it all worked, basically from flower to oil to edibles to
concentrate.
I mean, all day long, I mean, I can do anything and it all helps. So, I mean, it's really awesome.
That was my next question, was what application method have you found that works best, you know, whether it be dabbing or vaping or the, like you say, the oil concentrates or even some of the topicals? Because I've heard from a lot of pain patients that, especially with some of the new exposure to, you know, the CBC, the CBG, the CBN, that there's a lot of topicals that are really effective for pain management. Have you found that?
Yeah, I've tried everything that's pretty much in the dispensaries now. I'm currently trying to find my own little concoction, and I'm going to try to cook something up. But, yeah, I mean, I would say pretty much there's really good stuff out there and some stuff that really doesn't work. And the crazy thing is there's some stuff that's just CBD for pain relief, and there's some stuff that has full-on blown cannabis THC, and it really doesn't – it just depends on your body. And I just think it's, everybody's different. And for me, I use anything. If it's got cannabis in it, I'm using it.
Now, Kate's quite – I mean, she's different than our kids because our kids have such sensitive illnesses, and they're kids. So their digestive systems are different. Their hormones are different. Their growth is different. So, you know, it's great to have somebody be a spokesperson for all the adults out there. And, you know, Kate's doing an excellent job, and – you know, we really appreciate everything that she's done. That she's made such an impact on me and my family, and I love that. And but also an impact on everybody that she meets when it comes to talking about cannabis. You know, it's great to have people like you, all of you women, that are very outspoken when it comes to your use and why you're using. And it's, you know, I watched Kate from Facebook to Colorado to meeting her in Colorado to what she looked like when she got here to what she looks like now. And it has been a miraculous journey. And, you know, it's been absolutely great. And now we gave her a magical butter machine. Uh-oh. Yeah. We Garen gave us a magical butter machine, and I gave it to Kate, and it was going to be her Christmas present, damn it. She has been cooking up a storm. I mean, it's been fantastic. We're probably all going to get fat, but you know, she's finding it's kind of like what Sierra does. You know, she's trying to be self-sustainable, and even though she's not growing, she's making her own medicine. And she's trying to figure out what's working for her, and that's really important because nobody knows. Nobody has Kate's condition, and even if they did have Kate's condition, nobody knows what dosing Kate should have because nobody does. And that's some of the problems that we're running into with all of this craziness with cannabis. You know, Amy, you're lucky because you're the child that has seizures, and that's in the limelight. And a lot of people are learning a lot about seizures, and it's been great. But when it comes to, like, Kate and Melissa and Colton and Landon, we're all, like, on our own because we're the first, you know. And it's so difficult because I asked the doctor the other day, you know, what do you suggest? Do you suggest a different dose? Do you suggest a different strain? And he looked at me like I had three heads. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm not the doctor. This is a medicine. You should know these things. And they don't.
We're all the guinea pigs, and I don't mind. It's cannabis. I know it can't kill me. Like, unlike all the other pills that I used to take, like when I would be in severe pain, my husband would say, maybe just take one extra pill. And I would be like, yeah, but then what if my breathing stops? What if? And all these
well,
different
things. Well, that's what I ran into with my husband with PTSD and a traumatic brain injury and all of his chronic pain. I mean, the pharmaceuticals he was on, I was sure, I got to a point where I just was like, okay, he's probably going to die and there's not a damn thing I can do about it other than,
yep,
like, try to accelerate the move to Colorado so that he can use cannabis legally. And,
right,
you know, I was sure he was going to die. And because, I mean, it was unbelievable the amount of stuff he was on, and it was like the side effects from all those meds made everything so much worse. I mean, it wasn't,
oh, yeah,
nothing was really helping him. And so, yeah,
in a second. Here, try this one. Now take this pill. Take this one. Now take this one. But God forbid, don't take cannabis because it'll fuck you up.
Right, right. I mean, it was
damn it.
She got it in. She did it.
I knew it. Kate was the first one. Kate was the first one. I did not cuss. It was Kate. I had just taken my finger off the mute button. I was like, we've made it. We've only got 10 minutes left. We're clear. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Millennium Women's Hour. Thank you for joining in. Excuse the the occasional foul language, but we're just telling it like it is and talking. And one of the things that we just brought up is so important. I think a lot of people forget on the pharmaceuticals, you know, I mean, what you were saying, our son, the last time we were in the hospital with our son on life support, it was not because of the seizures. It was the first time he was ever on the vent because of seizures. It was because of the pharmaceuticals. The pharmaceuticals were shutting down his organs. And, you know, Austin is 13. He was on daily pharmaceuticals for a decade, 10 years of his 13 years. And his seizures raged on. And he is now 9 months after living in Colorado and being a medical marijuana patient, he is completely pharmaceutical free. And has 95% fewer seizures, and we're just touching, you know, the tip of the iceberg for Austin. You know, some kids use 3, 4, 5 different strains and multiple different methods of application. But you know, Wendy touched on something.
Can I ask you something really quick?
Sure,
before
of course.
You know, I'm now working with students that have different seizure disorders, and there's a mom that's curious about cannabis and hasn't been able to figure out the right strain. So how do you generally, like, go about that? I mean, you just, you know, try different things. I mean, I know that's what my husband's done, but when you're dealing with a child, you don't necessarily want to experiment too much. So, like, what's a good starting point for children, you know, that have seizures?
Well, and that's where, you know, and that's one of the things that Wendy touched on is that the seizures, for whatever reason, seizure kids are really in the limelight recently, you know, especially after Charlotte Figge. I mean, for whatever reason, that was, you know, the momentum. And because of that, it made research a little bit easier. I was able to start with, of course, Charlotte's Web. It was the most well-known. And then obviously look at the relativity to the R4. And then I, you know, by the grace of God, I was able to get into contact with Jason Cranford, who is another very well-established grower that has consistent and tested product called Haley's Hope for seizures. But in doing that, we also had learned that ACDC strains with a little bit higher THC had really proven very effective for children like my son. You know, Austin doesn't just have Dravet. He's a teenage boy who was, by design, addicted to pharmaceuticals that he had been on for 10 years. So we knew that we were going to have to start weaning him from the pharmaceuticals, and we would require more THC to be able to do that without the withdrawals literally jeopardizing his life. And so it's not just if your kid has seizures. It's one of the things that's a big
taking?
What are they already on? A lot of your benzodiazepines have negative reaction with the CBD. CBD actually causes some of the side effects from benzos and other medications to be heightened. And because we knew that, we actually dropped him down on his benzos to less than 10% of what he was taking before we actually introduced the CBD. And so to answer your question, I think a lot of it is research, talking to parents, reaching out. You know, obviously we have the American Medical Refugees Facebook page that has proven to be invaluable with the amount of information and the open discussion between parents and patients and caregivers that allows us to communicate openly and honestly about a plant and how its uses can be utilized. But what I was going to say that brings up a valid point, a very important point, I don't understand, there's a differentiation between seizure kids and cancer kids, and I don't understand that. I think that anybody, any patient, whether it's adult or pediatric, that needs cannabis should be focused on. And I don't understand why there's so much focus on some of the state laws. In Oklahoma, for example, even though it's a CBD-only law, it was still only allows accessibility for pediatric patients with epilepsy, not cancer kids. And I just don't understand it. PTSD, I mean, cancer, you know, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, CP, Crohn's, you know, the list is long. They're all, it doesn't matter if it's a chronic or terminal illness, or if it can any way make a person feel better, then it should be accessible, because it's been proven by the United States government to not only have medicinal benefits, but their patent, you know, has also proven that it's non-toxic.
Neuroprotectant and, yeah.
And that's one of the problems that we've had running across, you know, the United States, talking about Colton and doing the things that we do. Colton can't go back to Illinois. I can. Colton can. Because his condition, yet again, is a seizure, or is not a seizure condition. And only kids in Illinois that have seizures can get cannabis. So we would have to petition the state of Illinois to get cannabis for Colton. And he's obviously, it works for him, you know, and it obviously works for Crohn's patients. And I think that's, you know, ludicrous. I think, but it happens here in Colorado too. And that's some of the things this session in legislation in the state of Colorado that we're going to work on is patients' rights. Colton got kicked out of a Memorial Hospital here in the Springs because he takes cannabis. Now, if you are a seizure patient, then you can stay and take your cannabis in that hospital. But because
that's
he is a Colton patient, he got kicked out. He got admitted. They found out that he was a cannabis patient, and then they said, we can't treat you. We're putting you in an ambulance and driving you to Denver.
That is discrimination.
It is
That is absolutely discrimination.
It's discrimination in so many different ways. If your child ingested your weed and they were knocked out and high or whatever and you were scared, you can go into that hospital and your child will get treatment, but my child can't. So not only that, but you can go into that hospital if you are an adult and you've eaten too many edibles and you've gotten, you know, you're out and you're way out of your mind or whatever, stoned out, and you can get treatment. But because my son is a medical patient who takes a lab-tested, mother-approved cannabis oil,
in a very specific way.
Exactly. And that he does not get high. He cannot have medical treatment.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many states. I think one of the most harsh realization of how far we still have to go came when the Colorado State Board of Health denied PTSD as a qualifying condition for cannabis, and I have to tell you, we've only got a couple of minutes left on the show, so I have to get that out there because we're getting a list of the people, you know, we're getting a list of people that voted not to allow PTSD. Obviously, there's a lawsuit going on, several Millennium-grown people involved, but the fact that we're still fighting so hard for conditions, for access, for people with conditions that are beyond legitimate, that we're having to fight for our veterans. It's just, it's alarming to a point where realistically, truly, if you think that a cannabis user should go to jail, you don't belong in political office in the United States of America.
Amen. We have a long way to go. And to be honest with you, Crohn's disease, Colt's IBD, is not a qualifying condition in the state of Colorado. So we had to qualify Colton by because of his diarrhea and wasting and his weight and because of vomiting. So there were other things that he can be qualified for, which are excessive and totally qualified for. But when it came to flat-out Crohn's or IBD, it is not a qualifying condition.
Is everything all right? Okay, let me call you back.
Oh.
Mom, can you continuing to be moms, even though we are on radio.
Yep, I've been multitasking cooking dinner while we've been on the radio.
Well, that's awesome. Well, ladies, we've got 30 seconds, so let's go ahead and chime it out. Kate, thank you so much for joining us. Melissa, Sierra, be safe. Amy, obviously, and turning it over to Wendy to say goodbye.
Thanks, girls. I'd like to thank everybody, and, you know, just keep listening, everybody. Millennium
Women,
thank
you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, everyone.
Where did Melissa come in?